Anybody know what she's singing about? And during that psalm, when we started kind of joining in, at least I did in my heart, not too loud, you'll be thankful for that. Holy, 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 my mind started thinking about, you know, that pain, that it touches us all, doesn't it? Some of you it's touching now. I know there was somebody mentioned to me, we pray here right up front. I forgot back from the Autumn Care, and so that song's real current, amen? I think I was thinking, okay, I was thinking about your mom, Miss Edna, leg propped up, you know, and just trouble with her legs and different things, and just how much she loved to work and just the pain went through. And I think about Miss Linda, been through your treatment, and Byron back there, they told him this new procedure would be very painful, right, Byron? And and he says, amen, amen. They were right in that. And Angie, I thought about you, Mom, you know, and passing of you, Mom. You know, it's just hard to see folks go on. But that holy, holy, holy is being sang. That holy, holy is being sang when God heals and when God touches. And thankful for that. But I could go and mention something about each one of you. That's kind of where my mind went, is that psalm was. So I thank God for that. And just continue to pray for Byron, and he's going to slip in. He'll probably slip out in a little bit. So just, Byron, we're praying for you, and God touch. Be praying with Dennis. Radiation every day for 6 weeks, and even last Sunday it began to take a toll on his body, so pray. Misty had her open heart surgery, and just keeps ringing through my mind. She had open heart surgery at 2 years old, at 6 years old, and now as a young mom has had open heart surgery. Yesterday she was up walking around the nurse's desk and is eating and doing well, and just amazed to be in the hospital about a week. So one thing I've noticed about that is such still, to me, and I think that's such a big deal. I mean, any surgery, especially open heart, but it's amazing. These surgeons and heart doctors, to them, I mean, it's just like nothing. I mean, they're just doing it all the time. Sandra's aunt's waiting on a heart transplant. I mean, it's just amazing what God has done. And so I just pray, though, that God will do open heart surgery, spiritual surgery on me and all of us this morning. Amen. But it's good to be in God's house. I'm very excited about the new church year. A lot of exciting things are happening. You'll be hearing about those. Be praying as we continue to look for servants. If you're not serving now, we've got a place for you. And just let me know. Someone on the nominating committee has worked that process and has worked through a budget for the new year. And just remember on that, you play an important part. God sets the budget for the church. Y'all realize that? We don't set the budget. The budget is that all of the members of this church and all the visitors that are coming like members, amen, are tithing. And so that's the number. So, well, preacher, how do you figure out the number? I have no clue what that number is. But I know that's the budget, and I know that's what we need to do. So be praying about that. And then a new and very exciting thing, because we love the Bible, amen. Oh, I love the Bible. I know you do too. And for our children's ministry, this new church year, going to be starting a very exciting thing with the Bible and call it really Bible Buddies. And you have an opportunity to really be focused on the Bible, learning about the Bible. All we do is learning the books of the Bible and different things. And as a Bible buddy, here's where you get involved. As an adult, what you'll do is you'll buy a Bible for your buddy, okay? And you say, well, the children have Bibles. No, understand. Now, this is going to be a very special Bible from you that they're going to take and they're going to use during the Bible buddy program. You'll participate in presenting that Bible with us, and you're going to promise to pray for your buddy throughout the year, and you might give small gifts and encouragement, you know. And when I thought of that, I'm thinking, you know, as God shows you things in the Bible during the week, that might be something you want to share with your Bible buddy. So I pray you'll really prayerfully think about that and get involved in that. There's a sign up that's available out in the children's area that you can sign up, but everyone should do that. And you may say, well, preacher, we have enough children for everybody to have a Bible buddy. That's no problem. Katie, we'd just double up if we do. We can have a couple. If you want to be involved in that, be praying about that. And I'm very excited about that. I'm telling you, this morning, and we had an awesome time at Autumn Care. It's just always a special time. And even if you're not in the choir, as you see that come across in the bulletin, we talk about going, if you want to come by and worship with us, encourage. But there's so many needs there with the folks that's there. But as the choir was singing, by the way, man, the choir just really showed out. It was amazing. Tim came in, and Tim, rightfully so, you know, being a singer, he was saying this, the acoustics are great in that room. I don't know if the acoustics are that good, Tim. I think it was the Holy Spirit was amplifying and using. But we sang at Calvary, And I didn't take time to get the actual second verse and read it to you, but the second verse of it, Calvary, a precious, special song. But the second verse at Calvary, I shared this in our prayer room a minute ago. The second verse begins with that it was the Word of God, it was God's Word that showed me my sin. And that just went all over me. Because we live in a world that people don't read the Bible. The world doesn't believe the Bible, have nothing to do with it. So if you don't have the Word revealing our sin, that's why sin is so rampant. I love to read church signs. In fact, one time somebody bought me a book of church signs. Amen. It's amazing. Just, you know, you see some crazy things on church signs. But an awesome spiritual truth, if you head up Olive Branch Road at Midway Baptist, it says right now that if you want God to bless America, we need to quit legalizing sin. Amen? I mean, the court system, everybody's all, you know, okay, that's not sin anymore. That's all right. Hey, God's not involved in any of that. The law and the land may say you can do something, but if God says you can't do it, you still can't do it. Amen? So we're thankful for that. And then revival's coming. I tell you, I know it's a busy time, and it's going to be really right before school starting back, but I think it's very important that God has planned it that way. Evangelist Bill Slay's coming. Bill has been with us in revival one time. It's been for some one-day things, but Brother Bill is just an awesome man of God. Brother Bill, his life was full of, he was actually a drug kingpin. He sold drugs. He ran houses of prostitution. About anything illegal you could be involved in, he was involved in. And God miraculously saved him, delivered him from prison. And he's just got a powerful, powerful testimony. He's going to be, but reason for the timing, he's going to be nearby. And really helps him to be able to get revivals close so he didn't have just much traveling. So he's going to be here the 21st. So 2 weeks, the 21st to the 24th. Encourage you that Sunday morning, be inviting, have folks here. You need to be inviting every one of us. We have neighbors, you have coworkers, you have friends, we have family that are caught up. And Brother Bill can reach folks who don't know the Lord or away from the Lord in a special way. And just a reminder, Brother Bill, we as a church will help with Brother Bill's expenses for his travel. But as far as him coming, he simply comes on love offering. And each time he preaches, we'll take a love offering from him. And I wanted to mention that today, 2 weeks out, because I really want you to be in prayer of not just what kind of offering or love gift you want to give Brother Bill, but how you might be involved in his ministry. You know, the Bible says that if you honor a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward, saying that if you're involved in a ministry like that, as Brother Bill see souls saved, and he travels all over this country, which he's had all of his life since he got out of prison, basically. You're a part of that. And so I want you to really pray about how maybe you'd be involved in that ministry, and maybe that God has blessed you. You may have a little money that God's blessed you with, and you might be thinking about buying you something new or something you're going to get. I often remember my mom, I was going to a Bible conference. Man, just good Bible preaching down in Atlanta, and I was so excited. I was going by myself. I just wanted to go down and get fed. Went by my mama's house, and she said, I was cleaning out a drawer, and I'd stuck back this $100 bill. And I want to give that to you, take on your trip. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to get me a big old meal with part of that money. And I'm going to buy me a good book at the conference, you know. And man, I had it all planned out. And the first night, after the first service, and God had been moving and already touched me, they start passing. And see, when preachers, when they have those things, they pass chicken buckets, okay? They expect us to give more than y'all. And they pass the chicken bucket. And as soon as they start doing offering, God was like, give them that $100. And I said, God, that's my $100. My mama gave me that $100. My mama gave it to me, and I'm going to get something to eat. And mama said, and I'm going to buy a book. I'm going to buy a book, God. I'm going to buy a book about you. No. And some of you heard me say this before. I'm going to help y'all. I put that $100 bill in that bucket like I felt like God wanted me to. But I have never wanted to chase down an offering plate anymore in my life than that thing. I'm going to have my will of God. My mama gave me that money. One time before, a man had got to give testimony, and he said, "Man, you ought to have a $100 bill. So no matter how broke you are in life, if you ever get ahead enough, you get you a $100 bill. You got to keep it in your wallet. And when God says give it, give it." And I've tried to practice that. That Sunday, I got back to church. Now, this isn't always going to happen. But many people have testified, and women, you can join us too. You can actually get more hundreds in your pocketbook than you give in a wallet. But I gave that 100. You can give 100. Some of you have done this, and then they want to come back to you. And then you give that, Brother William, and they'll come back to you. This don't always happen. That very Sunday that I had given that, and you remember I said how ungodly I was when I get out the back of the church. A man's going out the back of the church. And he said, "Preacher, you know I asked you to pray about that business situation I was having." And I said, "Yes." And we had a good-hearted joke. He said, "I told you that if it happened, that I was going to buy you a new suit." And I'm thinking, you know, I don't get super spiritual or read anything of that. We're just joking, you know. And so we go out the back door. He handed me three $100 bills, and he said, "Preacher, go buy you a new suit." Well, I didn't go buy a new suit. You just can't outgive God. Amen? And I say that because, listen, you've already brought your tithes and offerings, and you'll do that next Sunday and the next. You're so faithful now on the 21st. But pray that how maybe you might get involved in blessing Brother Bill because you've done it before. But thank you for being here. And grab your Bibles up. Enough talking. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34. If you're physically able, if you stand with me all over the church to hear God's word. And not only God's word, but hear through God's word, the word of Jesus Christ. John chapter 4 and verse 34. And Jesus said to them, "And my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, gather fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap there whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." Dear God, I just pray that for me and for all of our church family, Lord, that you would make this word, the word of your son Jesus, to come alive. We're reminded right now that we're praying, Lord, as Jesus is our intercessor, and those prayers right now is going through Jesus, Lord, and we have a desire to want to do the will, Lord, that you have for us. And to finish, Lord, the work that you have given us individually as a church. And to realize, dear God, this morning that you would take the scales off our eyes and reveal to us, Lord, that we need to look on the fields. And we need to see there's so much need, Lord. There's so many people that need Jesus. And there's so many people that need to walk closer with Jesus. And Lord, that begins with me. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I found in my personal life, I found in the Bible, and I found in your testimonies you talk to me as I watch you in life, that Satan will do everything and he'll do anything to keep our eyes off of what God wants us to have our eyes on. Amen? Really. You know, it's so simple what we're supposed to do. It's so clear what we should have our eyes on. It's all there. So Satan, he uses everything and anything, and he knows what will get you and knows what gets me a little more. There's temptations that will just, man, overwhelm you that won't touch me. But there's temptations that will overwhelm me that you say, "Man, I've got victory and I don't worry about that anymore." But that is Satan's business. He's out there. He's lying. He's deceiving. But this morning we want to look at, because we find here in verse 35, that Jesus says, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields." So Jesus is saying, he's pointing out that we obviously have got our eyes, and we'll often get our eyes on the wrong thing. So he wants us to lift our eyes up, and he's telling us that there is a focus. There are certain things that he wants us to have our eyes on. So we do that, don't we? The way our eyes get focused, and I need to hear Jesus say, "Lift your eyes up from what you're looking at and focus on what I've got for you." So Jesus has really done. He's done everything already. He's already provided everything that we need to keep our eyes on him and on what he's looking at and who and what he is wanting us to do. Amen? I've heard this statement, you've heard this before. We need to realize what Jesus is kind of saying in this verse is to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? We need to understand our mission is simple. Our mission is clear. So all those distractions that are coming in the world are coming from Satan. Simply the main thing being the main thing. Why we, once we're saved, and the purpose of being a Christian, the purpose of church is to win the lost to Jesus and make disciples of those that follow Jesus. I said it at the rest home. I said it standing here at a funeral yesterday. I say it all the time because I need to be reminded. I believe it's true. If you bear all Scripture says, the greatest need that each of us have right here in this room, and it's the same in any room we go in, the greatest need that we have is a closer walk with Him. Amen? To get to lift our eyes up, what's consuming our eyes, and put our eyes on what we need to get our eyes on. So that's what we're here for, to win the lost, to make disciples. We should have a goal that we'll be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I mentioned funeral yesterday, and just continue to pray for the Mullis family, for sharing her family. But I've reminded at the funeral that many people, and I've done this, you've done this, there's a lot of people, though, that aren't in church, that don't know Jesus. They do the funeral thing, you know? Hey, we're going to go to the funeral. I love this person. I know the family. I work with them. All the different reasons you go to a funeral. We do the funeral thing. But I tell you, God intends to use funerals not just to remember someone's gone on, but to glorify His name and to be a change of life. And I've been preaching funerals for 20 years, and I pray, and God continues to do it, that when I am preparing for a funeral and preaching a funeral, when I'm going to a funeral, I want God to teach me something, to show me something, to lift my eyes up where my focus maybe has gotten distrayed and get me focused on what's the main thing. And there's nothing like a funeral. Nothing like the death of someone to remind us what the main thing is, to remind us that we need to understand that when someone dies, their soul either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. There's no in between. There's nothing else. This may sound a little weird. I like hospitals. Does that sound odd? Now, I don't like to go, and I've been plenty and had plenty of surgeries in my lifetime. I don't like that part. But hospitals, I found, are kind of a special place. Now, think with me for a moment before you just write me off as totally crazy. I've realized more and more as I pour in the hospital, it's kind of a special place. There's a lot of spiritual things going on in a hospital. Now, think about this. New life is continually entering and coming into the world through a mama, through the birth in the hospital. Amen? Most hospitals have some little tune they play or some ritual they do. I love to be in the hospital, and you're in the elevator, or you're waiting in the waiting room, your hospital room, and they'll play a little melody, and that's the signal, like a Presbyterian, down, that's the signal a baby's been born. Amen? Think about that. So new life. God has given new life, and a new life has been in the mama since the baby was conceived, but new life, so it's like almost like the hospital many times is an entry place into this world from heaven, amen? And then it's a leaving place, Brother William, amen? Every day, I guess, Brooke, every day I would expect, you know, someone is leaving a hospital somewhere, and they're departing this old earth, and they're so... So I think of that often. It's a special place. It's a place, Miss Loretta, that we go, and it's the greatest joy of life. New child, new grandchild. And then it's a place often, Jim, we go, and it's one of the saddest places and times on earth. So I've realized it's kind of a spiritual type happening there, and we need to understand. And as I was at the hospital with Misty having her surgery, I was reminded of again that this week. I'll have to interject this, though, so some of you need this, okay? So the I hesitate saying this, because I know some of y'all, you'll make me fatter than I am, but for 20 years, I have gone to surgeries and sat with families, and I never had this happen. 20 years. We're sitting there about midway through surgery. Here comes somebody in with 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Can I get a witness? Oh, and not only are they just 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, I'm telling you, they must have literally just come off the hot, because the hot sign was on, the boxes were hot, they'd come from Matthews all the way to downtown Charlotte, and them donuts were still hot. We had worship, okay? But the best thing about it was the surgeon comes in. Now, something Brooke can tell you, doctors are all different. And a lot of times, now, you know, you look at doctors, and they look as unhealthy as I do, amen? And you look at a doctor, they look like they run, and they work out all the time. You know, so you never know what a doctor's going to say, but somebody's brave enough to family say, got the good news. Hey, doc, you want a donut? He says, sure, heart surgeon. In fact, one of the best heart surgeons around. He says, sure, I want a donut. The person, I got the donut box, I held it up to him. He said, you know what I call these? We all look. He said, I call these protein rings. Now, some of you just need that justification. Now, I'm sure the doctor would say in moderation, amen. But when the doctor came in and he was describing what he'd done, they replaced a valve in Misty's heart and they checked some other things. And one of the most amazing things is after these three open heart surgeries, that now they say this valve will probably last about 20 years. But next time she needs it, don't have to do open heart surgery. I don't know what they did, but he did something, placed something, set something up where they could do it like a heart calf, Dickie, and they could, the next one they can replace like that. Well, what encouragement. But I'm thinking this morning about that the focus of that doctor's eyes. How focused that surgeon was on Misty's heart. And as he was focused on it, I mean, he could not be lifting his eyes up and focus on anything else. I would be most assured he didn't have his phone checking Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I'm sure that even something at some points of that surgery, something there could be a noise or distraction, but he was so focused on what he was doing, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up to see what's happening, Miss Linda. And so just as Jesus says to lift our eyes up and put them on those fields and see what see people, I felt like what God would tell us is once we get our eyes lifted off the wrong things and distractions, as we get our eyes lifted and focused, then we can no longer, just like the heart, we cannot lift our eyes off of what we're focused on anymore. And we've got to watch those distractions because I tell you, spiritually speaking, that heart surgeon, how he has extended Misty's life, and even over at New Hope, we prayed for the little boy that his name is leaving me, but he's had a heart transplant. Same surgeon did it. As all those life-saving things, that heart surgeon can do nothing for a soul, can do nothing in a very, he could give a new heart and put a place, a new heart in Sandra's aunt, and on the way from the home, from the hospital, she can have an accident and go on to glory, amen? So we have to have, we're, the purpose of lifting our eyes off, the wrong thing is that we get focused and stay there. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So when we get our eyes on souls and the spiritual condition, the lost around us, those that used to be in church and they know Jesus, but they kind of backed away and they're walking the guilty distance, that God's focus is on souls. He cares about souls. Amen? In Matthew 28, turn with me. It's not far back from where you're at in John. Let's just go and hear once again in Matthew 28 is God, at the end of Matthew, brings our focus in. We're lifting our eyes off all the distractions. And he says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Get lifting our eyes. Get him on the lost souls and the hurting souls. And Jesus is continually in the Word of God telling us that our eyes are focused on the wrong thing. It's clear in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. Listen to the Word of God. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Y'all, that covers a whole lot. Amen. He just told us, don't you be in love with this world. Don't be in love with all these things that you see and gets our attention, we think are important and won't. If any man love the world, he says the love of the Father's not in him. Wow, what a powerful statement. If your eyes are on the world, he's saying, lift it up, get your eyes up, all these things in the world. Verse 6, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the very eyes, he's telling us to lift up. The pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you realize what those last words, the world passeth away, and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All the things we see Cars wax old, homes wax old, everything's getting older and passing away. I'm getting older, and one day, and if Jesus tarries, I'll pass away. But he says, don't be focusing on all those things, because what we focus on is those souls that are around us and caring about lost souls and caring about souls that are hurting, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. So often what happens, why Jesus says we've got to lift our eyes up, get them on him and his word, and then as we get our eyes through his word on him, he immediately, as we fall in love with him with all our heart, mind, and soul, he says love others, and all of a sudden we begin to look at others the way Jesus did. Amen? And we think about that, I'm reminded, is our eyes so often are on people instead of on the souls and caring about what's inside the person. Amen? What people look like, what people are doing and what they're not doing, amen? Who they are, what they did in the past. We live in a world that's consumed. And boy, social media has taken that to a new level, amen? That's often awesome sometimes when somebody shows me things that y'all are doing. It's heartbreaking at other times when people show me what you're doing. And sometimes, to be honest with you, does anybody really care where you ate last night? Amen? But, I mean, you just, you know, look what they're, you know, oh, look at that beautiful wedding. Look at that beautiful new baby. It used to be one of my privileges to go to the hospital. I was one of the first people outside of the family who saw a new baby. That's gone. It weren't sometime a couple years ago riding down through Monroe, been somewhere as a family. I'm going to go stop by the hospital, look at a new baby. Brooke's in the back seat. She said, I done seen the baby, Daddy. Here's the baby right here. You know? So we are constantly looking at people. But how many times when we're looking at people are we look at them and realize those are people with souls. Those are people that are dealing with things that we don't even realize and understand. Those are people that they're either going to heaven or hell. And as much as you may be upset about what they're doing or not doing or angry at them or as happy as you are for them and excited about seeing them, there is a soul within that person that has a limited time. There's a date. Did you know that Bible says that our days are numbered? And all our souls have this expiration date and we don't know when that is. And so next time you're looking at someone on the TV or on social media and on the internet or in person as you go out to working around, think about that our eyes should be caring about not what they look like, not what they're doing, none of that things, but there's a soul there. Our eyes are so often on other people's sin instead of other people's needs. Amen? I think people love to see other people's sin because it kind of helps distract our minds from our sin. Amen? Oh, do you see what they're doing? Oh, do you see that? And so God says, quit looking at people, quit looking at other sins, and look at the need that people have in their lives. That's what being a Christian is about. That's what church is about. You know, in the Bible, Jesus tells us to go. But there's another word that begins with G-O. And so instead of hearing God's command that says go, it seems like oftentimes, and sometimes church people, the worst of all, is the word gossip. Amen? So the next time you catch yourself gossiping, you're hearing gossip, remember the first two letters of that word, and we're called to go. We're called to talk to people about their souls, about the Word of God, to praise Him, to give testimony, to show how the Word of God and prayer and His got us through a situation and helped us and took us out of sin. We're to talk to people, not to talk about people. Amen? And we're all guilty. We all guilty from the preacher on down, but I'm reminded, and that's why Jesus in the passage in John 4 that we're reading is continually saying, preacher, choir, church member, lift your eyes up away from all these people and things that's going on in the world and put your eyes on what I'm looking at. And he say, the fields are widened to harvest. People are dying every day and we need to be concerned about souls. Did you know that the greatest hurt and needs are not the gossip? They're not the things that you can see with the eye. They're not the things that are being openly, but it's the things of the heart not being revealed. If you want to turn with me back just quick, there's one verse. You might want to mark this verse and highlight it in Isaiah 48:6. It'll jump. It's one of those as all verses should, but at certain times, and maybe you're at this point in your life, in Isaiah 48 and verse 6, a simple verse and a powerful passage says, thou hast heard, see all this. Will not you declare it? I have shown thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. See, every time you're looking at a person, looking at things going on in the world, God says there's hidden things. There's hidden things that you can't see. There's hidden things that you don't understand. I wrote a few of them down in my notes. There, oftentimes, when you got your eyes on a person, what they're doing that's great and wonderful, or what they're doing is bad, there's a lost heart there. Oftentimes, there's a lonely heart. Did you know that sometimes the actresses that you see on TV and you love so dearly, the musicians who stand in front of crowds and they perform to huge audiences, that they have some of the loneliest hearts of people anywhere? Did you know that every church that's meeting this morning, everywhere, there's people that are dressed up, they came to church, they might even put partly a smile on. You'll ask them how they're doing, they'll say okay, but their heart is absolutely long. There's a hidden loneliness in their heart. There's longing hearts, longing to feel better, longing for finances to be better, longing for relationships. See, all those are the hidden things that God says. And in Isaiah 48:6, he said, thou didn't know them. And so Jesus is saying in John, lift your eyes up. Quit looking like the world and everybody else looks. Quit looking like you normally look and realize there's lost hearts and lonely hearts. There's languishing hearts are just needing somebody to care about them and to look past what's going on. Mark 6:7 reminds us that what Jesus tells us in the Bible is we need to go out two by two and go out to meet needs. And he says he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So God says, I want to send you out two by two. I want to, isn't that wonderful? You ain't got to go alone, amen. But to know that you can gather with somebody and say, you know, and wouldn't it be as a church, couldn't revival come if we just began to looking at things in the paper? There was a time in our church, and I hate it for the sin, and even some people hate it for the church, but I really didn't. But it was a time that we had a lot of people in jail, amen? I mentioned a lot of people in jail. And, you know, what would it be if we started reaching out to people, the people that everybody else is talking about, the people that everybody else is running away from? You know, I think about policemen and firemen and paramedics and all. You know, the picture of them is when there's something going on, everybody's running away and those people are running in. That's what Jesus is saying. Even saying, lift your eyes up of your pride and the dangers and even all that can happen, and get your eyes on souls and caring about people and run to them. And remember, it's not just the people that are hurting and the people run away from. It's the very people that, as Isaiah 48:6 says, there's hidden things in the heart. And God, and maybe you're the one that God is revealing to you, to your heart this morning, that, you know, wait a minute. I think all these things about my boss. I think all these things about the neighbor. I think, but what is the hidden thing? What is the hidden thing that I don't know? And that maybe you'll be amazed sometime. Just ask somebody. If you don't know how do I start a conversation? Well, I hope you have enough testimony that people know that you know God and that you pray. And try this. Start asking people that you kind of know or you don't know at all. Start saying, what can I pray for you about? Maybe you join us. I would say, I'm trying to build my prayer life more, and you know, I was just thinking about you and don't really know what may be going on. And I'm telling you what, you'll be absolutely shocked at people you may think they don't care about God, don't think that about God, but you simply do a simple thing of saying, lift up your eyes away from what you think and know about them. Lift your eyes up about all the business you've got and take time and say, and I'm telling you, I'm amazed still. Because listen, y'all, everybody I go up to, I don't wear a preacher badge. And I go and say, hey, I'm the preacher. Now, my prayers are special. How I can pray for you. Sometimes you be in an elevator. You can just be in Walmart. And God puts you in a more than just passing conversation. Say, well, how can I pray for you? You'll be amazed. Because even people that don't know God, they're lost. They know what prayer is. And that may be the very thing that Jesus uses to lift our eyes up and begin to make a difference. Amen. Would you bow with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? For a moment, be honest with God, what are your eyes so focused on? And see, it may be great things, family, children, work, fun. I mean, you know, but what is he speaking to you to lift up your eyes and place it on others that are lost and that are hurting and that need a touch from Jesus? What is the sin in your life that he's saying you need to deal with that? You need to get that under the blood, get that forgiven so you can get your eyes off the troubles and the past and your problems and begin to serve him. Maybe you just lost this morning. And Jesus is saying you can lift your eyes up off your past and the way you feel and all that's happened, all that's going on, and you can receive Christ and have a whole new vision. Maybe God's called you to be part of this church family, and it's that day of commitment. It's the day to take that step. Why is that important, Pastor? Well, it's that step of commitment that takes you into service, that takes you into being involved. So our doors are open. The altar's open. Where would he lift your eyes up this morning and place them on those who need you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Softly and tenderly.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Me and